Okay, this is Chus Toys Beer. Good vach, everybody. First of all, I want to thank always the Shriers, Eliza, and her whole Mishpacha for opening up their bias to the Torah, to the Cyrus. And Mir Tashem should be a big schus for the entire Mishpacha, for only Simcha and Bracha, Mir Tashem.
Amen.
So it's a very special night tonight. Emes is every Matzah Shabbos is very special. People understood the koyach of Matzah Shabbos. Shabbos is kodesh. Shabbos is very, very holy. Matzah Shabbos is kodesh gedashim. Matzah Shabbos is when we see if we could take all the chizik and esoros and kedush of Shabbos into the week. Matzah Shabbos, therefore, in some ways, is even holier than Shabbos kodesh itself. That's why it is that so much goes down on Matzah Shabbos as well. Some people refer to it as Saturday night. Whenever there's potential for tremendous kedusha, there's potential for tremendous tumah. So we have to grab onto Matzah Shabbos and realize how holy that time is, and it's a chus to learn together during this time. It happens to also be right now Yom Yerushalayim. Tonight, tomorrow is Yom Yerushalayim. And Yom Yerushalayim, forget about halacha, whether you're going to say halal or not tomorrow morning, but on just a simple level, each and every one of us to recognize the hakaras atov, that every single yid, no matter what your hashkafa is, no matter what your feelings are as far as how you dress or whatever else might be, the hakaras atov to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that our dar, that our generation, that each and every one of us has the schus to spend time in the old city of Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh, to spend time by Kaisel Maravi, how each and every one of us has been inspired and felt that Kirvas Elokim. And we can imagine for literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, Yidden weren't able to go daven there. And weren't able to go where we are able to go. And therefore today to be thankful and to have tremendous hakaras hatov to the Ribbono Shel Olam for that. And definitely to have a little extra kavana in our davening, Yerushalayim Ircha, and yearn for more. You know, we all know, and we've all heard we've heard the recordings, Harabayas Biadenu, Harabayas Biadenu. Yet then, and we're not going to get into politics and why, where, but we've ultimately Harabayas, we kind of gave back. Baruch Hashem, we have the Kaisel, and we have the old city, and we have so much, but we want more. And as much as we're thankful, and we have Hakaras HaTov for what we have, but at the same time, it gives us the chizik to yearn and to daven for Geula Shleima, to yearn and daven that again will be on Har HaBayis, and serving in Beis HaMikdash, and davening a little bit closer to Makom Kodesh Kedashim than even we're able to today. And I want to talk about Yom Yerushalayim a little bit, and talk about Yerushalayim, because I believe, there's no coincidence, there's nothing that's a coincidence, everything's Hashkach, everything's from the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you stopped and understood that, it's enough, we don't even have to talk about anything else tonight. But definitely it's Hashkocha from Hashem that Yom Yerushalayim comes just a few days before the Heilige Yantav of Shavuos, the Yantav of Kabbalah Satorah. The Mamish just a few days before, within the week of Shavuos is Yom Yerushalayim. And why is that? Why would Yom Yerushalayim be a prerequisite, akdama, to Kabbalah Satorah? Now first and foremost, there's no question that each and every one of us, we all know, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Kedusha of the Torah. And both Yerushalayim and the Torah help us get close to Hashem. That's no question. You know, I had this chus to put out a sefer a few years ago on Sefer Bereishis for my son's bar mitzvah. Mir Tashem, working on every simcha, finishing another sefer, but then decided not to publish again until we finish Chumashi Chumashi Torah. But each Torah is, to me, very, very special, but what's a little bit different than just Tama Sefer, every single Torah ends with a personal story. Every single Torah, every parasha ends with a personal story. And I remember when I finished it, I realized most of the stories in the Sefer, and that continues in Shemos and Vayikra, which I finished already. It's Hashem this summer, start working on Bamidbar. Most of the stories are connected to or occurred in Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. Because that's where, you know, the stories are obviously stories that are somewhat, have some level of nes nigla, nes nister, some level of really seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we're in Eretz Yisrael, It's just so much more clear. It's so much easier. It's not that the stories, by the way, don't happen here as well. It's just that we see them a lot more clearly there, and we feel the closeness to Hashem. Hashem's everywhere. We feel it a little bit more in Eretz Yisrael. I'll share one story just to get us into the hargush of Yerushalayim, being that we're not Zoichem, we're sitting here in Woodmere and Amatei Shabbos Kodesh, yearning to be in Yerushalayim, each and every one of us. But I think it has to be more than that, and we'll get to that. Wherever we are, we're not just we're yearning to be in Yerushalayim, but we should have with us the essence of Yerushalayim with us always. Libi b'mizrach doesn't just mean a yearning. It means libi b'mizrach, my heart, my soul, my neshama. I live now Yerushalayim d'kiyid, with all the inspiration of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. I'll share one story, a type of story that can only happen by Kosel Maravio, but only happen in Yerushalayim. There's many stories we could share, but just thinking about the story of the day, so I figured the Rebbeinu Shalom brings it to me to share with you. I had this chus for many years to go daven in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur. From the biggest chus of my life, to be literally steps from the Kaisel, steps from Mokom HaMikdash on the holiest day of the year. And the first year that I went was already, if I'm not mistaken, it was Yom Kippur of 2008. So this goes back about 11 years. And that year, Yom Kippur was on a Thursday. And Baruch Hashem, I was there for a simcha, a very close family that I'm close to. I was making a simcha. They made a bris on Erev Yom Kippur. And then Yom Kippur was Wednesday night, Thursday. And I stayed for Shabbos Kodesh. I left Matzah Shabbos to come back for Sukkot, to be with my mishpacha, obviously. But being that it was already Thursday, I stayed for Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. And it was a Halik Shabbos, it was a beautiful Shabbos. When I'm in Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos, there's only one place I eat my Lel Shabbos Suda. Obviously, daven Friday night by the Kaisel, the beautiful minion. And if anyone wants a gorgeous minion when you're by the Kaisel, Mitzvah Shem, we should all be this week. So you should go. You know, often by the... I don't know, actually, the truth is, I don't know what you guys do in the women's section. If you just, like, if you're part of a minion or you just daven yourself or just do your own thing. I don't know. But if you want to be part of a minion and a minion you could actually be a part of from the women's section. So if you're able to wait a little bit longer and not start, like, right at Shkia when most minyanim start. If you're ready and you can start Kabbal Shabbos, it starts about 25 minutes after sunset. Whenever sunset is, 25 minutes after. So from the women's section, you go all the way to the front left corner. The front left corner, and there's a minyan there set, kavua. That was Reb Shlomo Karbach's minyan. That's where Reb Shlomo used to dive in it whenever he was in Eretz Yisrael. He had an apartment on Lincoln Street in Yerushalayim, and he would daven Friday night. That was his minyan. And it continued by his Talmud, Rav David Hertzberg, who I used to daven with all the time. And when he's nifter, it continued. Now Rav Nachum leads the minyan. It's a beautiful, gorgeous minyan, like nothing else. Mamish, like nothing else. Not crazy long, but like there's a beautiful davening, beautiful singing. So he's davening that minyan. Mamish, it's worth being in Yisrael just to be davening that minyan for that 1 hour. And then I daven, and then I eat Lel Suda, Lel Shabbos, the Suda, by a very close friend of me, Yidin Nafshi, Rav Yoel Rakovsky, in the Old City, Mamish, the Suda's main Olam Haba. And that particular Friday night, I had this chus to have also a Shalom Zacher, close friend of mine for years, a lot of the Chever knows his brother for sure, so my friend Josh Shapiro, his brother is Mordechai Shapiro. So Mordechai's older brother Josh, his oldest brother is a very close friend of mine also, Avi Senga de Maichupa. And then Josh is my age, we went to MTA together. So Josh had his first boy. He had like three or four girls first, if I'm not mistaken. And he had a baby boy that the Shabbos beforehand, and that Friday night was the Shalom Zacher. And that Shabbos was the bris. I was there for the Shalom Zacher, there for the bris. It was very, very special. So he was making a Shalom Zacher. He was living at the time, and still does. He was living like by Shari Chesed. And so I walked from the Old City. Yol's Suda goes very, very late. It's like a beautiful Suda. But still, I walked. And it was probably ended, let's say, 11:30. I don't know, Chvesnisht. We get to the Shalom Zacher. Shalom Zacher was still rocking. It was there. It was beautiful. And I was staying then in the plaza. Then it was the plaza. Now it's the Leonardo, right? I think, if I'm not mistaken. Leonardo, the Chever knows, is like one of the tallest hotels you see, right? So I happened to be staying on the top floor. And I don't really like to, if I don't have to, really. I don't like to take Shabbos elevators. I'm not posking here now. Personally, I don't like to take Shabbos elevators. So I remember this at Mamish, like yesterday. I'm walking with a bunch of Chevra from the Shalom Zacher, and we get to the hotel. And they were all guys that were in the Tivarye walking now to the Old City. It's about 1:30 in the morning. And it was my last night in Eretz Yisrael. I was going to leave the next night back to America for Nazareth Mashiach. So I remember looking up and seeing like the top floor and thinking, it's 1:30 in the morning. I was exhausted. It was like right, you know, day after Yom Kippur. I haven't slept in days. And I couldn't imagine like walking up all those steps right now. I just like couldn't. So my first chesed is I'll just go into the lobby and sleep on the couch. You know, it's like, it's very comfortable couches. But then they were all walking to the Old City. Close Talmud, Eli Pollack, Johnny Fruchter, I remember. And so I say, you know what? What am I doing? What do I need to go to sleep now? It's my last night in the I'll sleep on the plane. Like, so I walk with them to the Old City. I say, I want to go out, go diving at the Kaisel. There's nothing like being at late Friday night, being at the Kaisel is like, it's incredible. It's very rare. You could have like, literally because you have like the whole Kaisel to yourself. It's tranquil. It's like incredible because obviously no one could drive there, so only people could walk there, and it's not, you're there very late Friday night. It's an amazing time to be at the Kaisel. So I decided to walk with them. So we get to the Kaisel, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And we just split up and we're all davening and learning and whatever we're doing, you know, trying to just get close to Hashem. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting like in the middle at the Kaisel with my chair and a shtender, and I see this Yid. And this Yid, he starts singing and dancing. He's a Breslover Chassid and the Breslover like Bekish and Levush. And he's singing and dancing in front of the Kaisel. And there was something about him that was like mamish, like so holy. You know when you could feel it and you sense it? So it was beautiful. And he literally like starts dancing in a circle as if he's dancing with like a lot of people, but he's only by himself. And I wanted to like feel it and be a part of it, but it was a little, I don't know what to do. It's a little awkward. You know, it's him by himself. I'm there. So I decide, you know, I'm going to go close, like near him and just like pretend like I'm davening at the Kaisel itself. I'll pretend I'm davening there as he continues to dance, and like, at least I'll feel it. I'll be a little bit closer. And that's what I did. And I'm there. And then suddenly, and it was awesome. It was like you felt it. There was something about it. And suddenly, another person that was at the Kaisel, probably under a minion of people at the Kaisel, but another person or two joins him and they start dancing together. So once that happened, so I was, that's it, you didn't have to convince me, I'm in. So I join. And when I join, all my Talmidim come and join also. There were about 10 of us. Every person that was at the Kaisel is dancing in the circle. There's no one else there. It's 10 Yidden, 2 o'clock in the morning, Lel Shabbos, right after Yom Kippur, dancing at the Kaisel. And there was something about it that was, it was of the holiest dances I've ever had in my life. Mamish. We were singing, I still remember the song, Shirula, Zamrula. It was unbelievable. It was mamish unbelievable. And we danced for like 15, 20 minutes. And then we just like, it's over, and we say good Shabbos to each other, and go. That was it. Like, no conversation, no getting to know each other. Zeu, fine. And we stayed davening for a little longer. Eventually I walked back and went to sleep. Walked up all the steps. And it was something like, it was just something super special about that dance. And it stuck with me. It was like very real. You know when you have moments like that? I hope we've all had moments like that in our life. When you really felt something. You felt the Rabboni Shalom. You felt the Kedusha. Okay, I fly back to America. Sukkot. The year goes on. That year, November, I went back to Eretz Yisrael. I had a family Achnas Sefer Torah. I had another Achnas Sefer Torah. And I was back. It was Thanksgiving weekend. I was back. So it's only, it's about 3 months later. Right, about 3 months later. Mamish, about 3 months later, a little less than that, 2.5 months later. And that day I got into Eretz Yisrael and I went straight to Bnei Brak for Achlan Sefer Torah from the Mishpacha. It was very beautiful. Then finally got to this old city. It's like 2 a.m. I was staying in the old city. And of course you're yearning to get back to the Kaisel. I have to get to the Kaisel. I haven't seen the Kaisel in close to 3 months. And I go to the Kaisel, and there were a lot of people there that night. I don't remember why, if it was specific, what the reason was. There were a lot of people at 2 a.m, a lot of people. And I'm going to the Kaisel, I'm walking down like the little ramp as you get to where the men daven. And right when I'm about to enter where the men start davening, like from the ramp, this chassid comes over to me. And like, he gives me the biggest smile in the world. Shalom Aleichem! And I look at him, like in a way, like he knows me. It wasn't, and I'm looking at him like, Aleichem Shalom. I said, Ata Zocher, Toti. You remember me? I'm like, I have no idea. I've never seen this guy before in my life. I thought, you know, okay, it's, you know, Jerusalem syndrome, you know. Well, he says to me, Harikud, Lel Shabbat. The dance, Friday night. And I realized it's that chassid. It was that chassid, the same chassid that I danced with 3 months earlier. And now he's in his more big day, choyl, you know, clothing. I didn't recognize him. Again, I spent 20 minutes with him in my life. And 3 months later, somehow he remembered me and recognized me. And immediately we just take each other's hands and start dancing, right there. We just start dancing to the same song. Mamish. Like it never ended. Like we just continued the dance. We danced for a few minutes and then we spoke for a while. Of course, his name was Nachman. And I took down his number. Never again called him. Probably have it in my old Israel phone still. Maybe I should try him. I don't know if he's Elio Navi or if he actually exists. I'm not sure. But it was, I remember it was so amazing to realize, like, I and my Talmidim, we all, like, felt that dance was so holy. To see that he obviously also did. That he had such a memory and how special he was called. Like, the Friday night dance, you know, it was like... But, you know, things... So, it was just incredible. It was, like, just a crazy moment in my life where 3 months earlier, I'm at the Kaisel. Here's 3 months later, the next night at the Kaisel, and it's like, just continuation. Like, it never ended. And I remember that night laying in bed and thinking, like, only in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Only in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Only by the Kaisel Maravi. The Kedush of Yerushalayim, the Kedush of Eretz Yisrael. The Kedush of Eretz Yisrael and the Kedush of Yerushalayim has never left. And it's so real. We've all felt it. I think this Torah I've shared before, I want to start just to remind us. You know, there's a Gemara, it's in Tainis. Kol HaMisavel al Yerushalayim. Zoyche v'roya b'simchasa. Kol HaMisavel Yerushalayim. Anyone who mourns Yerushalayim, zoyche v'roya b'simchasa. In the present tense, merits and sees its joy. If you mourn Yerushalayim, hopefully this year won't happen, but during the summer, we have the 3 weeks and the 9 days. Emes is there Yidden that mourn Yerushalayim every single night. Something called Tikkun Chatzos. By the Kaisel every night, by Chatzos, you see Yidden on the floor with their shoes off, saying Tfilas, mourning, and Avelas, of Eretz Yisrael of Yerushalayim, of Chorban Beis HaMikdash. But if we mourn properly, call Mas'av Yerushalayim, Zolche V'ro V'Simchasa, we merit and see its joy. So the obvious question, all the Mepharshim ask, what should the Gemara say? Kol HaMisav L'Shalayim. Those of us who remember from Dikduk in like third grade, right? It should be B'Lashon Atid, right? It should be Yizkeh V'Yireh. Shouldn't be in the Hove Zolche V'Roe. It should be Kol HaMisav L'Shalayim Yizkeh V'Yireh. If you mourn Yerushalayim, based on that, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will appreciate that. You will in the future merit and see it Simcha. Not right now. What a Tisha B'Av. You're sitting on the floor crying, saying kinnos, and right there and then, you're feeling simcha? No. You hope, because based on that morning, you'll be zoiche yizkeh v'yireh. You will be zoiche to see the simcha. You will be zoiche to geula. We will be zoiche to Mashiach. What do I mean zoiche v'ro in the present tense? So I learned this originally from a Sefer Gyoni Halacha of Mirsky. He brings down a medrash and a discussion by Yaakov Avinu. By Yaakov Avinu, after Yosef HaTzadik, he thinks that Yosef HaTzadik is dead. So it says, Vayinochem. I'm sorry, Vayimo ein lisnachem. Vayimo ein lisnachem. He refused to be comforted. He refused to gain consolement. And all the Mepharshim ask, I don't understand, meaning, well, and the Medrash discusses it already. Like, Lamaisa, you're a tzaddik. You're supposed to be able, Hashem gives a matana when someone passes away of a nechama. You're supposed to be able to say, Baruch Dayan Emes. You're supposed to be able to say, this is the Rabbeinu Shalom's will and wanting, and be able on some, not to ever forget, and not to ever, not to, that, of course you can miss Yosef tzaddik, but you should have a nechama. You're going to mourn for 20 years? And the obvious answer is because, of course, he was mourning for 20 years. Because Yosef was still alive. The gift of Nechama and the ability to say Baruch Dan Emes is if he actually was gone. So there's nothing more I could do. I have to accept the will of God. But somewhere deep in the unconscious state of Yosef HaTzadik, of Yaakov Avinu, he knew Yosef was still alive, so he was yearning to be reunited. So of course he's going to refuse to be comforted. He wanted to be reconnected, which is beautiful. That's what a father should be if a son is still alive. So if you don't have a nechama, and you're still mourning, it's because he's still there. He's not gone. So too, if we are still close to 2,000 years after Korban Beis HaMikdash, we're still sitting on the floor, and we're still davening and yearning and mourning Korban Beis HaMikdash. You know what that means? Why didn't we get over it already? Why haven't we moved on? You know why? Because the Kedusha is still there. The Kedusha is still there. The holiness is still there. And we can still feel it. And we can still sense it. And therefore we yearn for it. And we want it. And we want it in the way that it's supposed to be. With Beis HaMikdash. With Kohanim Bavodasam. Levim Lashim Lazimram. Right? The way we sing from Resnick's. From who we want, right? What's it? From his song. Beautiful song. Vareinu. Vareinu. Beautiful song of Kohanim Bavodasam Vilvim Lashirim Lazimram. Halavai, we should be Zoicha, the Karuv. That's what we want. And but we feel the Kedusha, so we still mourn. We still mourn. So, first and foremost, just to realize that. As we say in Tehillim, Eshalich Hashem Ba'arzo Zachayim. It's a living land. It's still alive. There's not some Chorban that's gone, that's finished. And we have to believe that, we have to know that. So that's first and foremost. There's a Kedusha in Yerushalayim. And that's Yom Yerushalayim. And that's what we have to believe, and that's what we have to feel. And we can never forget that. And that's why we always yearn to go visit. And if we have moments when we could go, we're going to run there and gain from that Kedusha. And hopefully, Bez Hashem, the Karav Mamsh will be there. The Karav B'Yameinu. The question is why, again, so why is it, and I think everything is Hashgacha, why is it that Yom Yerushalayim is right before Kabbalah? What's the connection to Kabbalah's Torah? What does this Kedusha do for us over here when we're in Chutz La'aretz as well? Like, what does it do for us thinking about Yerushalayim and this Kedusha? So if we want to really understand not just the Kedusha of Makom HaMikdash and that Kedusha, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, but Yerushalayim itself, like what is Yerushalayim, which is still our homeland and our capital and everything that we are connected to and what we yearn for? Yerushalayim itself, what is it all about? So if we want to understand any makum, or any person, or anything, you have to understand its shame, you have to understand its name. The Gemara in Brachos says, Shema Garam, the name causes and instills the essence of the being. So if we want to understand Yerushalayim, and we understand what it stands for and what it is, we have to understand its name. What is the name Yerushalayim? What is the name Yerushalayim? So there's a medrash that I want to read to you. It's a medrash in Parashas Vayera. Happens in Bar Mitzvah Sedra. And the medrash here says something unbelievable. And through this we can understand the depth of Yerushalayim. And how it helps us prepare for Hail Giyant Vashuas. It says, Avram Koroso, Avram called it, talking about naming of Yerushalayim. Avram Koroso Yireh. He called Yerushalayim Yireh. Shenemar v'yikra Avram Shema Makom Ohu Hashem Yireh. Avram called that place Hashem Yireh. Yireh has a dual meaning to it. It means it's the place where we could see Hashem. Hashem Yireh, Hashem is seen. We feel Hashem's essence there. We could see Hashem, literally see Him. It also means this place where we're in awe of Hashem. Yireh is also fear. which words go hand in hand in a sense, right? Because you only fear and awe of something that you see. Why would I be in awe of God? Because I have to see Him. Those who don't believe in Hashem won't be in awe of Hashem. You have to see Hashem. So in Yerushalayim, you could see Hashem, you could be in awe of Hashem. The Medrash continues, Shame Karos Shalem. Shame, the son of Noah, called that place Shalem. Shalem, what does Shalem mean? Complete. Because Yerushalayim is complete. In every way, it has everything we need. Shenemar Amalki Tzedek, who was Shame, Melech Shalem, he was the king of Shalem. He called his place where he was Shalem. Oh, listen to the Medrash. Listen now. So we have now that Avram called the Yira, and we have that Shem called it Shalim. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Im Korani Oso Yira. If I call Yerushalayim Yira, if I call this place my city, the holiest place in the world, if I call Yira, Kishem Shikaro. So Avram, like the name that Avram called it, Shame Adam Tzaddik Misraim. That's not nice to Shame, who is a Tzaddik. It's a little bit not nice to him, right? He's going to feel bad. I chose Avram's name over his name. After all, he named it first, right? Shame was before Avram. It's not nice. It's not nice to Shame. Vim Karnios Shalem, and if I call Shalem, Avram, Ivri, Avram, the first of the Avos, Avram Adam Tzaddik Misraim. So he's going to feel bad. I'm going to make him feel bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a dilemma, the Medrash says. I can't call a Yira because Shem's going to feel bad. I can't call Shalom because Avram's going to feel bad. Ela nekarosa Yerushalayim. Kemo shekaros shneim. Yireh Shalom. Yerushalayim. So what am I going to do? Easy. We're going to combine the two. And if you take Yira and Shalom, it's Yerushalayim. In fact, well, the Mefarshim explained, Yira ends with an Aleph and a Hey. Aleph is one, Hey is five. One and five together is six. So you change the Aleph Hey into a Vav. It's Yerushalayim. Often you'll find it in the Nach, it's called Yerushalayim, exactly, without the Yod even. But that's the name Yerushalayim. That's where the name Yerushalayim comes from. Mamish Beferish Medrash, an explicit Medrash. It's a combination of the name that Avram gave and the name that Shem gave. What do we see from here? We see from here something incredible. At the very essence of Yerushalayim is Achdus. The essence of Yerushalayim is unity. Is oneness. And every one of us has felt it. Talking before about Lel Shabbos by the Kaisel. You go Lel Shabbos Kaisel and you see a circle dancing together, a chassid with a chiloni and a cardboard yarmulke, with a soldier, with a yeshivish guy in a hat with some kippah surga wearing tzioni, all dancing together, Lel Shabbos by Kaisel Maravi. Mamish beautiful, incredible. Yerushalayim is a makom of achdus, a makom of unity, of oneness. Every type of Jew together, because we're united in our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Once you feel that and know what it's all about, there are no differences anymore. They all fall by the wayside. It's ke'ish echad b'lev echad. Ke'ish echad b'lev echad. You know, I felt this. I remember a couple months ago here in Chutz La'aretz. I don't know if any of the chevre in the room were there. Maybe there was a Yishai Ribo concert. Chevre listens to Yishai Ribo? If you don't, you should. It's mamish tzaddik. His music is so, so beautiful. Mamish so beautiful. Every single song is a tefillah. The only other person I feel like that is Yosef Karduner. It's like where every song is a tefillah. You just listen to him. It's just tefillahs. And he's brilliant with the lyrics. He'll take psukim and interchange them in ways that are so beautiful. I can't even explain. You have to listen. It's mamish. Just listen to Gam Kelech. You'll understand what I'm saying. Just go. In Apple Music, it goes by Ishai, I think. ISH instead of Yishai. They don't know it's Yishai, really. I don't know. But Lameisa, so it was a Yishai Ribo concert. So I went with my son. And I remember going and walking into the, it was in the city, in Town Hall, if I'm not mistaken, one of these places. And it was a mamish so beautiful. I mean, the concert was incredible and so full of life and so full of ruchnias. But the chevra there, it was mamish. Every type of yid, there were chassidim and yeshivish and chilonim and every type of yid together. Every type. And it was like, Mamish, I turned to my son and said, Mamish, this is Tam Eretz Yisrael here. It's Tam Yerushalayim. You have to have the Israeli singers come in to give their performance to bring Tam Eretz Yisrael. Mamish was. It was Achdus. It was oneness. And that's what Yerushalayim, in its essence, the name itself is already that unity. So that's what the place represents. And that's what we need before we walk into Kabbalah Satorah. We all know. Vayichen Yisrael neged Arki Yishechad B'leiv Echad. We need this Achdus. We need a Yom Yerushalayim before I walk into Kabbalah Satorah. Why is that? First and foremost, Derech Eretz Kabbalah Torah. If we're not going to care for each other, we're going to care for the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom, who physically we can't even see, and we have to be able to use our Amuna and our Ritachon. We're going to care for the Rabbeinu Shalom, but we can't care for ourselves. We have to care for each other. We have to have the Achdus V'Reis before we come to Kabbalah Satorah. But I'll tell you something else, why? Kabbalah Zatorah, we say Na'asav Nishma, right? We say Na'asav Nishma. Kabbalah Zatorah, the Yontav Shavuos is that we accepted the Torah upon ourselves. All the other nations God offered the Torah to also. They all say no. We said Na'asav Nishma. Could any individual say Na'asav Nishma? Could any individual? There are mitzvahs that are only for men. There are mitzvahs that are only for women. There are mitzvahs that are only for Kohanim. There are mitzvahs that are only for Levim. There are mitzvahs circumstantial based on us. If you have a firstborn son that's born naturally, you have a pidyon haben. If you're also not a bas kohen, bas levi, and your husband's not a ben kohen, not a kohen or levi. So that's a very circumstantial mitzvah. Not every person has the opportunity to makayim mitzvah pidyon haben. Right? In other words, there are many mitzvahs there's no one individual that could say, I'm keeping kol ha'Torah kula. It's impossible. How can we say, that's why we don't say, Eseh, v'eshma, I will do. Naseh, we together, collectively, could say, Naseh v'nishma. Klal Yisrael, the unit, could say, Naseh v'nishma. So first we have to be that unit. First we have to come together, and love, and care, and give to others. And Hashem says, by the way, that's what I want from you anyways, before anything else. I want you to care about me, but care about each other first. What do we see by a soita when lo aleinu there's a lacking of shalom bias for very difficult reasons between a husband and wife? Hashem says, erase my name to find shalom. I will first want shalom between you before you have shalom with me. Can never forget that. So, so, so important. And that's Yerushalayim, that's the Achdus of Yerushalayim. It's seen already in its name. But I think there's something else we have to talk about. There's another type of Achdus we find in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim specifically. There's another, if the name of the place represents Achdus. The name of the place represents Achdus. This is another type of Achdus. And I want everyone to listen closely to this. We say it every day in our tefillos. We say it every day in Ahava Rabba. V'yached levaveinu l'ahava l'yishamecha. V'yached levaveinu, make my heart one. Putting aside the achdus, the reyes, the care bein adam chavero, we have to have a oneness bein adam la'atzma. V'yached levaveinu, that my heart should be one. We are all on some level torn in so many directions. We're torn in so many directions. This is in our very essence. In our very essence, we are a guf, we are a physical body that desires and wants physical sustenance and temptations and materialism. And we have a soul, we have a neshama that's literally chelik elakam imam amish, that's literally a part of God, that only wants ruchnias, and wants davening, and wants chesed, and wants Torah, and wants mitzvahs, and wants to be with Hashem, because it's a part of Hashem. And each and every one of us on different levels are pulled in these separate directions. We're pulled constantly, it's a constant battle, it's a constant war between our neshama and our guf, between our soul and between our body. Yerushalayim brings oneness in that as well. The unity of Yiras Shalem is not just a unity amongst each other, it's a unity within oneself. To feel at peace and to be one in our pursuits of life, guided by Torah, guided by the Rabbeinu Shalom in everything that we do, not being pulled in all different directions, so pulled by different people, pulled by family, pulled by friends, No, just being comfortable with myself and living one life. Being one within oneself. Sometimes there's nothing more special and more important. Because how could you be besimcha? How could you be happy when you're being pulled in multiple directions constantly and never ultimately living your own life and who you really are? You know, the Gemara in Ksuv is Daf Kuf Yud. It's a very, very strong language, and I want to explain it. The Gemara says, this is a Gemara. It's not some, like, extreme, you know, extreme, crazy rabbi that you could say, okay, but I don't hold by that one. You know, because other rabbis will say differently. It's a Gemara in Ksuv. It says, Kol Hador B'chutz Laretz, anyone who lives outside Eretz Yisrael, K'mi she'ein lo eloka. It's as if they have no God. It's a Gemara. Now Baruch Hashem, it says, K'mi she'ein lo. It doesn't say ein lo. Otherwise, we should all be getting on a plane, the next plane out of here. Maybe we should anyways. I'm not sure that's not a good idea. For many, many reasons. What does that mean? Because the truth is, outside Eretz Yisrael, the society that we live in, the culture that we live in, the focus that there is, causes us to forget the oneness of who we should be. And causes us to be pulled after other priorities and temptations, and make us think and dream that other things are important in life, but a closeness to Hashem and a closeness to each other. And we no longer have that oneness. And it's K'misha Ein Lo Elaka. God forbid. The Kedushas of Aretz brings us a certain feeling and focus on tremendous ruchnias and what's important. Every one of us knows that whether it's when we were in seminary for a year, for 2 years, or whether it's over the last few years when we've been zoicha to go back and visit, when we're in Eretz Yisrael, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we dream, it's one. I'm clear. I know it. And by the way, it doesn't mean that you have to live, you know, that means the only proper lifestyle is to live a kol lifestyle where you're poor and impoverished and mamish living with 8 kids in a 2-bedroom apartment in Ramana Shkol. That's not what we're saying. To each their own. There are tzaddikim that live like that. And then there are tzaddikim that could still live a comfortable, nice lifestyle, yet everything you do and every pursuit is driven by Kedusha and Ruchnius, and driven by a closeness to Hashem, and driven by V'yachi Levenu. I'm all one. There's only one thing in my mind. It's closeness to Hashem. That's how I'm going to raise my children one day. And that's how I live my life. And I'm all one in everything that I do. And Yerushalayim reminds us of that. And therefore, clearly, we understand what it means that your Yerushalayim has to be before Kabbalah's Torah. Because how am I going to come to a Kabbalah Torah and accept upon myself Torah Mitzvahs without first this mindset of Yerushalayim? That mindset of Yachid Levaveinu Dikur Yerushalayim. First we said the Yerushalayim of Achdus with each other, but it's also the Achdus within oneself that's necessary prior to Kabbalah Torah. You know, I was thinking about it. These two ideas maybe answer a very strange Chazal. There's a Chazal that says, Lo nitna Torah, the Torah was not given, ella la'ochle man, but to the generation that ate the man. Like the Torah, that happens to be true. The Torah was given to a dor that was eating man at the time, but like, why is that significant? Why does the Medrash have to tell us that? Shkoyach, we were eating man. And there, what does that have to do with Kabbalah's Torah? By the way, we're only eating man for like 17 days. We started eating the man. We learned it together here a few weeks ago, right? That when did we start eating the man? On Lag Bomer. So Lag Bomer is the 33rd, and then 17 days later is Shavuos. So we're eating man for 17 days. But seemingly, somehow, that's extremely significant. That's extremely important. Why? So I want to say, based on what we're learning tonight, we understand in both ways. First of all, you know what the man did for us? Every single person had the same exact parnasa. Everybody had the same, everyone was eating the same food, everyone had the same materialism in their life. Therefore, there was no reason to ever be jealous. There was no reason to ever look down or look up to anybody. Everybody was on the same level. We were even keeled. So it was a tremendous foundation for Achdus and Reyes, to be one. To have that oneness before we are Mekabel Torah. That's what the Mun did for us. That's the Kuda Aleph. But you know what else the Mun did for us? It was Hashem giving us all our Parnasa, Hashem giving us all the physicality that we needed, all the materials that we needed. The rest were in the desert. There was no desire to want anything but Ruchnius. Because what else would we want? We were given everything we would need. Zeu! Now go sit and learn Torah and do mitzvos and enjoy life with the oneness like you're supposed to. So Lo Nidna Torah Eloch Leman is very specific. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah only after giving us the Man, because He had to instill it within us, this oneness, the oneness within each other and the oneness within oneself. That's a prerequisite for Kabbalah HaTorah. And that's why we say in Tehillim Yishalayim HaBnuya Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachtav. Kapitel Kuf Chaf Beis, look it up. Yishalayim HaBnuya Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachtav. Chubra LaYachtav means it takes and it attaches into one. It brings things together and brings us to one amongst each other and within ourselves. And that's how we have to enter into a Kabbal Satorah after this Heilige Day of Yerim Yishalayim. You know, there was a big tzaddik, Rav Mordechai Gifter. Rav Gifter was the Rosh Yeshiva in Tells in Cleveland. But at one point in his life, he said, I have to go to Eretz Yisrael, I have to be in Eretz Yisrael. And he went to Eretz Yisrael for a couple years with the Rebbetzin. But then he realized his calling and where he should be for his Talmidim and for Klal Yisrael, even though his heart was in Yerushalayim, was to be in Cleveland by the yeshiva and to be the yeshiva. So he moved back to Cleveland. He moved back to Tells. But when he moved back to Tells, he decided, and his wife acquiesced because she was a tzaddikas, that they didn't move back into, forget about a nice house, they didn't even move back into a house. They lived in an apartment in the dormitories of Tells for the remainder of their life. He said, if I'm going to live in Chutz Laretz, because I'm supposed to be here for my Talmidim, I understand. But I'm not going to live in a house. I'm going to remind myself every single day this is only temporary. And I'm going to live in an apartment in the dormitory like the Talmidim. Can you imagine? I think what he was doing there was twofold. He was definitely yearning, like we all should be, to be in Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh. And recognizing this is only temporary to be in Chutz Laretz. And yearning for Mashiach, and yearning for Geula. But when you live like that, you also bring a Yerushalayim Dikah essence to your life. And until each and every one of us zoicha to be in Yerushalayim, and halavai should be a Mashiach, but if not before then, we have to live with this mindset. We have to keep Yerushalayim in our hearts. And figure out ways, whatever, Rav Gifter maybe did it living in such an apartment. You could do it, I don't know, chveshnesh, wear a necklace that reminds you of Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh daily. Emes, a necklace you got in Eretz Yisrael with something chveshnesh that reminds you of Yerushalayim Eretz Kodesh and brings you a bracelet, a tefillah that you say every day that reminds you, whatever it might be, something. Something that you could live Yerushalayim every day. Now, about the yearning to be there, but also while you're here living that type of lifestyle. To remind you of the oneness we should have with each other, and maybe even more importantly, the oneness one needs within oneself. And then we could walk into Shavuos and Mekabel Torah, B'simcha, with Bracha, to feel that oneness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because after we have oneness with each other, and we have oneness within oneself, then we could finally have the oneness with the Rabbeinu Shalom, that each and every one of us wants, and each and every one of us is yearning for. We should all be Zoyche to a Heilige Yantav, a Yantav full of Simcha, a Yantav full of Bracha, of Kabbalah Torah. Whether you stay up or you don't stay up, that's secondary. No one here has a chiyuv to stay up. If you think you're going to gain a lot from staying up and be able to learn all night and the ruchnius of it, and you're that type of person, wonderful. If you think you're going to end up half the time sleeping and not learning well, and then you're going to be tired and the rest, Shavuos the Iker is to recognize and the Kabbalah Torah, and to revitalize your relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom and your relationship with Torah, and to stand there Shavuos morning by Kabbalah Torah. And stand as if you're standing by our Sinai, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu reliving that moment of Kabbalah HaTorah. And whether you're up all night or not up all night, you have to live that moment with the Rabbeinu Shalom to reconnect and re-strengthen that oneness with the Rabbeinu Shalom that comes after we have the oneness with ourselves and oneness with each other. We'll be zeicher to a yantif of simcha, of bracha, and the Mirza Hashem, through this avodah, then be zeicher to not just have to live with Yerushalayim in our hearts, but mamash should live in Yerushalayim in our kodesh, with the gula shleima of Mashiach Zidkenu, from here of Yemeinu. Mashiach, have a beautiful week, a good vach, a beautiful Yom Yerushalayim.